Praise the Lord. This is Tony Alamo, Pastor Tony Alamo. And we're reading through the Bible. We're on the 29th chapter of the book of Exodus. Now let's go to the throne to ask the Lord to bless. Chapter 29. Father, we thank and praise your holy name for your word. Because within your word is the Holy Spirit. You stated that the words that you speak are not your own, but they're the Father's. That's because you didn't do a thing on your own of the flesh. You were in the flesh, but you were not of the flesh. And every word that you spoke was, it was the Father speaking through you. And that the words that you spoke were spirit and life. And the words have been laid down on paper so that we can read you, read the spirit and the life, the Holy Spirit and the life. This word is a life-giving spirit to those that read it and acquaint themselves with it and live by it. We live by faith in you, the word, in your word. So, Lord, open the chapter up to our spirits. Lord, our spirits were once dead, but now are made alive by your spirit living in our spirits. Our spirit was resurrected from the dead by your spirit living in it. And Lord, we want that spirit of yours to continue making our spirit with your spirit in it mature, to full maturity to the fullness of the stature of the Lord Jesus Christ within us. The fullness of the Godhead bodily, God in Jesus by the Spirit. You, Lord, quickening Spirit, Lord, quicken our spirits today. Write all these beautiful testimonials and the symbolism of them on our spirits, on our hearts. The heart that we have in us, we have a beating heart that pumps blood throughout the body, and then we also have the spirit, which is the very heart, the very life of ourselves. The heart of us is the spirit mingled with your spirit. Your spirit and ours made us God-men and women, and one God-man. And we thank you for letting us, allowing us to be members of your body. Send down the Holy Spirit through your word into us. Resurrect us another day. We have to experience that resurrection every day, that we are able to make it in this condemned, doomed world as sheep among wolves another day. Lord God Almighty, depress and destroy our enemies who are your enemies. Flatten them, Lord God. Make them go at each other instead of us. Blind their eyes to us. And Lord, open the eyes of those whose intention it was of yours to have saved from the very foundation of the world. Lord, we ask all these things in the mighty name of Jesus, and everyone says, Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Exodus chapter 29, King James Version, verse 1. And this is the thing that thou shalt do unto them, to hallow them, to minister unto me in the priest's office. Take one young bullock and two rams without blemish, and unleavened bread, and cakes unleavened, tempered with oil.
Now, as you all know, that the unleavened bread, leavening in bread means sin or false doctrine. You have to just eat that which is unleavened. In other words, the tough gospel, the tough love. Because the Bible says all who live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution, and they're going to have to go through the fire. Now, everyone in the world goes through persecution. They go through false accusations. They go through trials and tribulations. Everyone. Doesn't make any difference. Lord God, you make the sun to shine on the just and the unjust. the rain and the shine, the sun. Now, the rain comes down on the just as it does on the unjust. But we have a great consolation in that we're saved and we're on our way to heaven. The unjust have nothing to look forward to but a burning inferno hell and the lake of fire. Now, these offerings all the offerings in the Bible. I was going over the first chapter of Leviticus today with some of the people in the church and was telling them how they had to be whole burnt offerings, 100% whole. They couldn't leave a hoof out, everything, even the internal organs of the sacrifice. And they're all symbolic of the Lord Jesus Christ and ourselves. God gave himself for us, and now we have to give ourselves unto him for his service, for him to live in us and work, abide, live and work in us. And he said that we're going to be judged for our works, by our works that we allowed the Lord to do in us and through us. And so he doesn't want, of those burnt offerings, you'll notice, he doesn't want like two fillets of filet mignons and maybe a T-bone steak or beef shanks, but he wants the entire cow, the entire bull. All of it has to turn into a heap of ashes. And when we give ourselves to the Lord, that's what he wants us to do. It's we're not ourselves. We're dead to ourselves, but we've been called not to defend ourselves, but the gospel. Vengeance is the Lord. If something is happening to us, we have to depend on the Lord to defend us. And that's what it means to give all of our dependency, to place all of our cares upon him, because we know that vengeance is his and that he cares for us. All right, so let's continue on.
Take one young bullock and two rams without blemish.
And that's symbolic of that we can't have sin on our souls. If we're going to be a sacrifice ourselves unto the Lord, because the Lord's Spirit will not live in a sinful person. So you're just out of luck if you want to be saved, if you want God to be yours and you to be God's people, you're out of luck because you have to be without spot or blemish for the Lord to use you as a house. And in my Father's house, Jesus said, are many mansions. He said, in other words, my Father lives in many mansions, many houses, many temples, because all those temples are one because of the Spirit. We're all joined together by the Spirit, symbolically joints and bands. We're banded together to do good for each other, for the household of faith. We're not to fight and gnash on one another. We are to love each other, and that in this way, that means not to just condone everything that everybody does, but we are to reprove each other if we see each other doing things wrong, because we're supposed to care, we're supposed to love each other to show that we love them by saying, hey, you're headed for disaster, and you're doing this, and the Bible says to do that. And if you're too timid to do such a thing as that, then you're to report them to the pastor, who should have the reputation of not being timid at all. And we will take care of that person. We'll tell them the right thing to do. Not because we want to see their souls destroyed or that we're angry at them. And they will always say, well, we just don't want you to be angry with us. Well, we just don't want you to go to hell, and that's why we want to know these things, okay? Because it's our job to at least attempt to get you into the kingdom of heaven. Do you understand?
Yes.
Amen. All right, then what?
Take one young bullock and two rams without blemish, and unleavened bread, and cakes unleavened, tempered with oil.
All symbolic of Jesus, without sin, and the body of Christ, his bride, the New Jerusalem, which is without sin, because they have the power of God in them to not sin. Then what?
And wafers unleavened, anointed with oil, of wheaten flour shalt thou make them.
Okay, so it shows that everything must be without sin. This is symbolic of that which is to come, which is Christ and his body, the church. Us. We're the church. The buildings that you see people holding services in are not the church. They're gathering places, or the church gathers there to have services. But that isn't the church. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God? Ye are the church of God. The temple is the church. And you don't belong to yourself. You can't do what you want to do, because the Lord paid a price for you, and you gave yourself to him, and he'll do with you what he wants. Or else he won't be his, and he will not be yours. He won't be in heaven, but in hell. Then what?
And thou shalt put them into one basket, and bring them in the basket with the bullock and the two rams. And Aaron and his sons thou shalt bring unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and shalt wash them with water. And thou shalt take the garments, and put upon Aaron the coat, and the robe of the ephod.
Okay, so the door of the congregation. This is Christ. He said, I am the door. Amen?
Amen.
Anyone that tries to enter into me, or I into them, other than by the door, is a thief and a robber. So all the religions are false, because Christ claims that he's the only one whereby you can get into heaven. That's his claim. And his claim is true, because you see that all the prophecies that he has made, and his disciples, his prophets and disciples, all of them have come to pass. Amen?
Amen.
So he's the door, he's the way, he's the truth, he's the life. He's the bright and morning star, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Almighty God. All right? So don't look for any other way. Well, you're just kidding yourself, and it's very foolish, because kidding yourself at the judgment bar of God, you won't be kidded any longer. You'll know that his word is true, because you'll spend eternity in the lake of fire. Then what?
And put upon Aaron the coat and the robe of the ephod, and the ephod, and the breastplate, and gird him with the curious girdle of the ephod. And thou shalt put the mitre upon his head, and put the holy crown upon the mitre.
Right, that's the hat. Okay, then what else?
Then shalt thou take the anointing oil, and pour it upon his head, and anoint him. And thou shalt bring his sons, and put coats upon them. And thou shalt gird them with girdles, Aaron and his sons, and put the bonnets on them, and the priest's office shall be theirs, for a perpetual statute, and thou shalt consecrate Aaron and his sons.
Okay, now that's the Leviticus priesthood, and now this Jesus is from the tribe of Judah, and it's another priesthood after the order of Melchizedek, an everlasting one that goes on throughout eternity. And so we're part of that priesthood, not the Leviticus one, but the priesthood after the order of Melchizedek. Jesus is the chief priest, and we are one in him, because that we have received him into us, and him makes us as strong as him is, okay? You understand? Because if we are like burnt offerings, we're a heap of ashes, we no longer live, it's Christ in us. Paul said that he did a greater work than all the other apostles put together, yet not I, but the Christ that's in me did it. Okay? Because he aided me. We did it together. He used my body, and my body is my body, former body, but now I gave it over to him to use as he will. And sometimes he wanted me to go, he allowed me to go to prison. He wanted me to go there, so I did. And one thing led to the other, to where I was stoned and so on and so forth. But it wasn't me, really. It's the Lord's body now. Amen?
Amen?
So we should think of it as such, because that's the way it is if we're really saved. Okay, so then what? No, we can go over to the translation now.
Translation verses 1 through 9. The dedication of the priests. This is the ceremony for the dedication of Aaron and his sons as priests. Take a young bull and two rams with no physical defects.
Right, so what he's doing is consecrating Aaron and his sons to be priests. And we are consecrated to be priests by the Holy Spirit entering into us and by the blood of Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
So that's just symbolic of that. So we're the real deal, the real thing, the one that is all pointing towards us, the Lord Jesus Christ in us. Okay, then what?
Then, using fine wheat flour and no yeast, make loaves of bread, thin cakes mixed with olive oil, and wafers with oil poured over them. Place these various kinds of bread in a single basket and present them at the entrance of the tabernacle, along with the young bull and the two rams. Present Aaron and his sons at the entrance of the tabernacle and wash them with water.
Right, there's a basin out there, and they had to wash their hands and feet before they went in. You have to be clean. In other words, our feet walk in righteousness, and our hands only do righteousness. Okay, that's symbolic of us being righteous, totally righteous. Then what?
Then put Aaron's tunic on him, along with the embroidered robe of the ephod itself, the chest piece, and the sash. And place on his head the turban with the gold medallion.
Right. You have to know that you're saved. That's the helmet of salvation, to know that you, what you're called to, for, and who called you, and who saved you, and called you into the priesthood. And it's a jewel of a thing to know. It's part of the armor of God. Amen. The helmet of salvation, to know what your job is, too, and not forget it. Keep your head on. The whole armor of God is to stay on all the days of our life. We're not to just go in like those people who would go in and get sanctified, and then they'd come out, and then they'd sin again, and then they'd come in, because the Spirit of the Lord wasn't in them to keep them strong every day. If they read the Bible, if they ministered unto themselves and unto the Lord and unto others. Now, you know, we can keep ourselves holy by letting the Word of God minister to us, which is with the Spirit and the life in it, and we can stay steady every day. But liars and thieves and whoremongers and lesbians and homosexuals and people that don't love God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength, and people that don't care about their neighbor and actually prefer their neighbor above themselves, they have no place with the Lord. Liars and people that are puffed up, that braggadocious people full of pride. The book of Proverbs says that pride goes before a fall, before you fall into the pit of hell, the lake of fire. People say, well, I've got this, and I own this, and I own that, and I'm somebody. No, you need to be a heap of ashes so that the Lord can resurrect in you and do his work. The Lord can't use a person full of pride and evil like that. You're fallen. So the Lord wants people that have a broken spirit and a contrite heart, because those are the ones that he loves, and those are the ones that he's going to do something for. If you think that because you have pride that God's going to do something for you, that is like you're very deceived. The world believes that, and you're not to be of this world. All right, then what?
Then take the anointing oil and pour it over his head.
Right, that's the symbolic of the Holy Spirit. Be filled. Ye shall have power to stand. Ye shall have power to do the Lord's work. Ye shall be anointed with power after the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And the one that comes after me, I baptize you with water, but the Lord Jesus Christ, who will become the quickening Spirit, he shall baptize you with the Holy Spirit. With the Holy Spirit and fire. In other words, he's the one that's going to give you the power. And why? Because power belongs to him. He said, all power in heaven and on earth belongs to me. So no one else can give you power. You're powerless without me. You can do nothing without me, he says in the 15th chapter of John. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, let's go. So we need to be reproved of these things every so often. Amen?
Amen.
That's the way of life. The reproof of the word of the Lord is the way of life, the Bible says. Then what?
Next, present his sons and dress them in their tunics, with their woven sashes and their headdresses. They will then be priests forever. In this way, you will ordain Aaron and his sons.
Yeah, this was just an ordination service of Aaron and his sons, the priesthood, because they're symbolic of us. We're a nation of priests. Amen?
Amen.
That is, if you're walking in the Spirit. If you've been baptized in the Spirit, you have power over your wicked flesh, your pride, and that you have the seven spirits of the Lord in your wisdom, knowledge, understanding, the fear of the Lord, and so on. All right? Let's go.
King James Version, verse 10. And thou shalt cause a bullock to be brought before the tabernacle of the congregation. And Aaron and his sons shall put their hands upon the head of the bullock.
Right, because this is, they lay the hands on the bullock's head to say, this is my sacrifice. Because back then, of course, that's symbolic of Jesus. Jesus is my sacrifice. This is symbolic of Jesus, this bull here. This isn't really Jesus, but it's symbolic of him that is to come. We have Jesus now, who died for us. So you put your hand on Jesus, the symbolism of him, and say, this is actually me. This bull is going to die because of my rotten sins. And he's going to get hacked to pieces and burned. And this was to be a testimonial to everyone as to how wicked sin is, because somebody has to die for us. It also shows the mercy of the Lord to send somebody in our place, and especially the mercy of God to send his only begotten Son. If you had a son, would you send him for all the rotten sinners out in the world? Well, people say, well, God, no, because we wouldn't do such a thing. How could he be? Because God is not like us. His ways are above ours. And that's the only way, is try to see if there's any goodness in a human being enough to see that this horrible slaying of this bull, which happened to Jesus himself, who is God, God in Jesus, came down here in the Holy Spirit in him and died for us. And if that doesn't mean anything to you, I don't need to see a motion picture to make that ring home to me. I mean, if I saw a little animal, like a little bull or a calf, a ram or a lamb or something, being killed on my behalf because of my sins over and over again, month after month, I would start to thinking that sins are wicked because God kills somebody to take care of our sins. Then finally, his son. And then if we still desire to sin after we know that Christ died to take our sins away, because God hates sin so much, then maybe would people understand that you cannot sin after you've been saved, because if you do, a worse thing will happen unto you. Seven devils will enter into you, worse than the ones that was in you before. And it is impossible for you to be restored. It was hard enough for you to respect the Lord enough to accept the Lord Jesus Christ in the first place, and even after you got saved, that you would become so disenchanted with the Lord that you would begin sinning again to fall away. How do you think you could ever be restored if seven more devils, more wicked than the one that was in there before, and the one that convinced you to sin again? You couldn't be restored to salvation anymore. You'd be all there would be left in you would be a fearful knowledge of that you're going to die one of these days, and you're going to be in hell and the lake of fire, and you know that the Lord's word is true, because you could feel those seven devils making it impossible for you to get a hold of the Lord again. And you start getting blasé, and things wouldn't mean anything to you at all. And you'd become offended at certain parts of the word of the Lord. And the Lord says he's going to destroy people with the brightness of his coming that don't love the gospel. And that he's going to send them strong delusions to make them believe a lie, because they don't love the word of God enough to crucify it, allow their flesh to be crucified. They won't deny themselves anything. And they become braggadocious if they own something that somebody else doesn't own. Instead of feeling sympathy for them and wanting them to have what you have, if it's going to throw their soul for not having it. So this bull is the Lord. And these guys are actually going to see this bull killed, going to hack off its neck and split him down the middle, and cut him into pieces and put him on the altar and burn him until there's nothing left but ashes of him. And that was because that should have been you. But in God's mercy, he let it be the bull or the little lamb or a dove, a turtle dove. They twist the head off of it and throw it in the fire, and the rest of it, and tear its wings off and pluck its feathers and throw it in there as well. So he wants us to be stripped down like that little dove and wring its thinking off of its head, its carnal thinking, and just let its smoke come up unto the Lord, the spirit of that thing, the thing that you are. You're to willingly give it your life, to abandon it and let the Lord's life that means something live in you. Because he was the best and he suffered the most. He was the best, he suffered the worst. And who are we to not go come after him? Amen?
Amen.
All right, go ahead.
Verse 11, "And thou shalt kill the bullock before the Lord by the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And thou shalt take of the blood of the bullock, and put it upon the horns of the altar, with thy finger, and pour all the blood beside the bottom of the altar."
See, this is a real gory mess here. And that's what has to happen because of your sins and mine. Someone had to die for that. And this was just figuring. It was like a figure, a type, a symbol of that this God, man, was going to come and do that for us. And by God, you better pay attention to it. You better not begin selling and buying these sacrifices. You better raise them yourself, get attached to them, and then this was the number one prize animal in your flock. Send it over to the temple to so Aaron and his sons could lay hands on its head and say, "This is us. The door of the tabernacle. The door of the tabernacle." The door has to be kept open for the Lord and it has to be shut to the devil. Amen?
Amen.
Who's the tabernacle of the door? The temple of God. We are. Open your door, the door of your tabernacle of the Lord, to let it be his tabernacle. Let him live in there and give you the power to stand and to keep you alive forevermore. Amen?
Amen.
And then shut the door to the devil. You're not to let the devil come in there, because if you do, you're desecrating the temple of God by allowing leaven in, sin, to come into God's property. And he has commissioned us to guard that temple from sin. Not to justify your sins or the evil you do, or to even take vengeance on anything that happens to you, but to know that you are the Lord's and the Lord says vengeance is his. He'll avenge you. Defend the gospel, in other words. Amen?
Amen.
Defend the truth, not your wicked lies. Or, if something has offended you, to get so overthrown that you lose your soul over it. Because the Lord was the best, and he suffered the worst and was lied about more than anybody.
Verse 13, "And thou shalt take all the fat that covereth the inwards, and the caul that is above the liver, and the two kidneys, and the fat that is upon them, and burn them upon the altar."
Well, this sacrifice has to be, the guts, the innards has to be burnt because of us. This isn't just, you know, like a butcher shop. There's a meaning behind it. Then what?
"That the flesh of the bullock, and his skin, and his dung, shalt thou burn with fire without the camp."
Everything about this person that's going to be of the Lord has to be burnt, because this is symbolic of Christ here. And so you have to, it's our reasonable duty, the Bible says, to give our life for him, because he gave his for us. And he was somebody, in other words, God, the Father, God, the Son, and God, the Holy Spirit, and you are just a byproduct of his imagination. He decided to make a mud patty into a man and blow some breath in there. And you and I don't amount to anything unless we're being used by the Lord. Unless we become burnt, total heaps of ashes, totally not ourselves anymore, but His. Okay? Then what? Well, you're a fanatic. Yes, I am. Okay? And you're a fanatic for Satan, for saying such a thing. And woe be unto you for saying it. At least I know who I'm a fanatic for. You people that say such a thing as that, you don't even know that you're a fanatic for the devil. Because you're Antichrist. Then what else?
It is a sin offering. Thou shalt also take one ram, and Aaron and his sons shall put their hands upon the head of the ram.
Right, because this ram is me. And then they're going to kill it now, right? Then go ahead.
And thou shalt slay the ram.
Kill it. Cut its neck off. Well, if you cut its neck off, doesn't that mean that the head will go too? Absolutely. The head's right on the end of the neck. Right? Then what else?
And thou shalt take his blood and sprinkle it round about upon the altar. And thou shalt cut the ram in pieces.
Yeah, it's got to be busted up before God can use it. Then what else? You do too. I do too. Then what?
And wash the inwards of him and his legs, and put them unto his pieces and unto his head. And thou shalt burn the whole ram upon the altar.
You see, the whole ram, right? Now, the whole ram, what does that mean? In other words, the Lord doesn't want just a lamb chop or a leg of lamb off of there, because it's a sacrifice, a whole sacrifice. Amen?
Amen.
He wants the whole lamb. The Lord doesn't want your mind, just your mind, or just part of you as a sacrifice. He wants the whole you and the whole me, all of us. He wants all the heart, all the soul, all the mind, all the spirit, all the strength, all the devotion, all the love, all the time. That's what it means to be a Christian, a sacrifice unto the Lord. He wants everything. Even the dung, yeah. He says if you don't, he'll rub your dung in your face. Pack at your eyelids out with it and stuff your ears and your nose and your mouth with it. Read the Old Testament. Because you thinking yourself more worthy than me, the Almighty God, he says. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit that created everything that you can see and all the things that you can't see. Who do you think you are? We're like miserable wretches next to him. All right, so the best way is to don't fight him, join him. And joining him means give it all. Because he wants you to be like him. He gave it all, so you have to give it all. It's your reasonable, our reasonable duty. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what? The whole lamb. Jesus gave all of his life, all of every part of him went up on the cross, and all of him died. And, you know, all of you have to die, and I do too. That's it. That's the gospel, the good news. Because after you're resurrected, you're the happiest person in the world. Amen?
Amen.
And after you're in heaven, you'll be even happier. Amen?
Amen.
All right, then what?
And thou shalt burn the whole ram upon the altar. It is a burnt offering unto the Lord. It is a sweet savor, an offering made by fire unto the Lord. Translation, verse 10 through 18. Then bring the young bull to the entrance of the tabernacle, and Aaron and his sons will slay their hands, and Aaron and his sons will lay their hands on its head. You will then slaughter it in the Lord's presence.
Lay their hands on it. This is me, and I'm going to kill you for my sins. You poor little wretch of a bull or a ram or a lamb, or they'll have to die because of me. Then what?
You will then slaughter it in the Lord's presence at the entrance of the tabernacle. Smear some of its blood on the horns of the altar with your finger, and pour out the rest at the base of the altar. Take all the fat that covers the internal organs, also the long lobe of the liver, and the two kidneys with their fat, and burn them on the altar. Then take the carcass, including the skin and the dung, outside the camp and burn it as a sin offering. Next, Aaron and his sons must lay their hands on the head of one of the rams as it is slaughtered. Its blood will be collected and sprinkled on the sides of the altar. Cut up the ram and wash off the internal organs and the legs. Set them alongside the head and the other pieces of the body, and burn them all on the altar. This is a burnt offering to the Lord, which is very pleasing to him. King James Version, verse 19. And thou shalt take the other ram, and Aaron and his sons shall put their hands upon the head of the ram. Then shalt thou kill the ram, and take of his blood, and put it upon the tip of the right ear of Aaron, and upon the tip of the right ear of his sons.
Right, this means that the blood, he wants you to hear what the whole story is of why this blood is being shed, so that you can, and the reason that it's going to make you righteous, but somebody had to die because of it, and the whole story of the blood bath that has to take place because of your and my sins. Then on the thumb, he wants everything, he says you got to be a whole sacrifice, so that means everything you do with your hands, and on your right toe, everything that you do with your feet, wherever you walk, you have to be clean, cleansed with the blood, and do the thing that God wants you to do, the right thing. Follow the Lord's commandments, because that's why this lamb or this bullock is being slaughtered, because of you. Now the priests have to hear that. They have to do righteousness with their hands and feet. They have to be clean. Live a clean life. Then what?
Then shalt thou kill the ram and take of his blood and put it upon the tip of the right ear of Aaron and upon the tip of the right ear of his sons and upon the thumb of their right hand and upon the great toe of their right foot and sprinkle the blood upon the altar round about. And thou shalt take of the blood that is upon the altar and of the anointing oil, and sprinkle it upon Aaron, and upon his garments, and upon his sons, and upon the garments of his sons with him.
Everything has to be cleaned through the blood. There's no forgiveness of sins without the shedding of blood. And what?
And he shall be hallowed, and his garments
should be holy, is the same meaning. Then what?
And his sons' garments with him.
So they say, how can a person be? No one is holy, no one is perfect. What God said is holy and perfect is holy and perfect, all right? Does that make him holy by having blood on the ear, blood on the thumb, and blood on the big toe of the right hand and the right foot? And then your clothes are sprinkled and you're sprinkled with blood and everything? God said it does, and so just shut up. Receive it. Okay, and does that make us holy? Because the blood of the Lamb has been on our soul by faith in our spirit, and that we've been filled with the Holy Spirit, and we're doing the works of the Lord every day. And they say, well, no one's perfect and holy. The Lord says we are. All right, so if you want to believe these false prophets, you can. The Lord's not going to break your neck immediately for that, but he's going to burn you later for it, okay, for believing them over his word. We are holy and perfect. And without blame, without spot, without blemish, if you're really a part of the bride of the Lord. He's not going to get married to a sinful bride. All right? There you go. Keep going.
Verse 22. Also thou shalt take of the ram the fat and the rump, and the fat that covereth the inwards, and the caul above the liver, and the two kidneys, and the fat that is upon them, and the right shoulder, for it is a ram of consecration. And one loaf of bread, and one cake of oiled bread, and one wafer out of the basket of the unleavened bread that is before the Lord. Translation verses 19 through 23. Now take the other ram, and have Aaron and his sons lay their hands on its head, as it is slaughtered.
This is me. Here's another one having to die because of me. But there's only one real sacrifice, which is Jesus, but all these were symbolic of him. Then what? And then us, that we have to die as well. Then what?
Collect the blood and place some of it on the tip of the right earlobes of Aaron and his sons. Also, put it on their right thumbs and the big toes of their right feet. Sprinkle the rest of the blood on the sides of the altar. Then take some of the blood from the altar and mix it with some of the anointing oil. Sprinkle it on Aaron and his sons and on their clothes. In this way, they and their clothing will be set apart as holy to the Lord.
So it says you and their clothes will be holy, right? Just receive that, okay? If the Lord says you're holy, then keep yourself holy. If you don't believe that you're holy, then you won't keep yourself holy. If you believe that you can't be perfect, then you won't be perfect. You'll go out and do sin because you'll think everybody else is not perfect, and that you could be imperfect as well. That's what the whole trick of the devil is. Amen?
Amen.
God says you're holy. Now be holy. Amen?
Amen?
For I am holy, the Lord says. Amen?
Amen.
Then what?
Since this is the ram for the ordination of Aaron and his sons, take the fat of the ram, including the fat tail and the fat that covers the internal organs. Also, take the long lobe of the liver, the two kidneys with their fat, and the right thigh. Then take one loaf of bread, one cake mixed with olive oil, and one wafer from the basket of yeastless bread that was placed before the Lord.
So it's so easy to understand these things when you understand what it means. Amen?
Amen.
That you can tell that it's all symbolic of the entire body of Christ and his entire body. Because is your body part of your head? I mean, are you both attached?
Yes.
Well, so is Christ in his body, and we're that body. Amen?
Amen.
So we're one, and all things are possible in Christ. Amen?
Amen.
And we're more than conquerors of our flesh, sin, Satan, the world, all of our fleshly, worldly desires, and all these things are definitely mortified or killed by the Spirit of the Lord living in us. So be holy, because you are holy. Amen?
Amen.
Don't let the devil rob you of that by giving you some kind of bad thoughts in your head that you can't be, or this is ridiculous.
King James Version, verse 24. And thou shalt put all in the hands of Aaron, and in the hands of his sons, and shalt wave them for a wave offering before the Lord. And thou shalt receive them of their hands, and burn them upon the altar for a burnt offering, for a sweet savor before the Lord.
It's a very sweet thing to the Lord when we give ourselves as a whole offering, W-H-O-L-E, all of us, all or nothing at all. The Lord went totally up on the cross himself, and he totally rose from the dead, his whole body and head, and his whole body, which is us, is risen from the dead too. If you say you are a Christian and you're not really risen from the dead because you refuse to crucify yourself, and follow the Lord, deny yourself every day, well, then this will all be thrashed out at the throne of God. Amen?
Amen.
You can, kid some of the people some of the time, but no one's kidding the Lord. It's all going, you're going to die one day, and it'll be all thrashed out then. Okay, then what?
It is an offering made by fire unto the Lord.
Another thing, trying to kid people, Rachel, she stated that she was having her period and she was sitting on these idols that she stole. So she was a thief, an idol worshiper, and a liar. Amen?
Amen.
And so she didn't think she'd pay for it either, but she died. Now she just deceived poor old stupid Jacob. Just old stupid Jacob just thought he'd just serve the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Well, at the end, though, who made out? Her or Jacob?
Yeah.
Israel. Right. So, all these type of people like that think that people, because they're doing something behind their back that they don't know what's going on, they think they're smarter than that person. But, no, the mindset that I have is I know that people are doing things behind my back in the church. I know that. But, and I know the Lord knows it too. And if you're cheating on the Lord, you're cheating yourself. Amen?
Amen.
You're cheating yourself if you're trying to cheat the Lord, because you're not going to get away with it. Because all the things that you do in secret shall be shouted to the housetops. On the day of judgment, you're going to be ashamed. And very sad. But you knew that there'd be a day of reckoning coming. That's what a teacher told me when I goofed off in the classroom. And so she told me to stay over late, because she wanted to talk to me. She says, I flunked you, because you're like a fresh article, she called me. She was an old-fashioned woman. You fresh article, you. Well, thank God I've repented since. And she told me, she said, you know there'd be a day of reckoning. And boy, that always got me. That's a really warning, you know, because I know that there also is a day of reckoning before the Lord, and we really better live it straight and narrow. Amen?
Amen.
All right, let's go.
And thou shalt take the breast of the ram of Aaron's consecration, and wave it for a wave offering before the Lord, and it shall be thy part. And thou shalt sanctify the breast of the wave offering, and the shoulder of the heave offering, which is waved, and which is heaved up, of the ram of the consecration, even of that which is for Aaron, and of that which is for his sons. And it shall be Aaron's and his sons by a statute forever from the children of Israel. For it is an heave offering, and it shall be an heave offering from the children of Israel of the sacrifice of their peace offerings, even their heave offering unto the Lord. Translation verses 24 through 28. Put all these in the hands of Aaron and his sons, to be lifted up as a special gift to the Lord. Afterward, take the bread from their hands, and burn it on the altar as a burnt offering that will be pleasing to the Lord. Then take the breast of Aaron's ordination ram, and lift it up in the Lord's presence as a special gift to him. Afterward, keep it for yourself. Set aside as holy the parts of the ordination ram that belong to Aaron and his sons.
Right, now if the Lord said it's holy, then my God, it is holy. Amen?
Amen.
I don't care what anybody else says. He said it's holy. Huh?
Amen.
All right, then what?
This includes the...
Well, then what if he said, and you put some coal dust on it, and that'll be holy? Well, then it's holy if you put coal dust on it. Okay, whatever God says is the truth. Amen?
Amen.
Thank God he didn't say that, because I don't like the taste of coal. I tried it once. Okay, then what else?
This includes the breast and the thigh that were lifted up before the Lord in the ordination ceremony. In the future, whenever the people of Israel offer up peace offerings or thanksgiving offerings to the Lord, these parts will be the regular share of Aaron and his descendants.
It'll belong to them. You go take it home and eat it. Okay, then what else?
King James Version, verse 29. And the holy garments of Aaron shall be his sons after him, to be anointed therein, and to be consecrated in them. And that son that is priest in his stead shall put them on 7 days, when he cometh into the tabernacle of the congregation to minister in the holy place. And thou shalt take the ram of the consecration, and seethe his flesh in the holy place.
That means boil it. And then what else?
And Aaron and his sons shall eat the flesh of the ram, and the bread that is in the basket by the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And they shall eat those things wherewith the atonement was made, to consecrate and to sanctify them. But a stranger shall not eat thereof, because they are holy.
Because, yeah, these things are holy things. Why? Because I said so, the Lord says. Amen?
Amen.
And if it's holy to the Lord, then it's got to be holy to us. Amen?
Amen.
If he says we're holy, then we are holy. Hallelujah!
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
All right, then what else?
And if aught of the flesh of the consecrations or of the bread remain unto the morning, then thou shalt burn the remainder with fire. It shall not be eaten, because it is holy. And thus shalt thou do unto Aaron and to his sons according to all things which I have commanded thee. 7 days shalt thou consecrate them. And thou shalt offer every day a bullock for a sin offering for atonement.
Every day? Well, that must mean they've been sinning every day. Then what else?
And thou shalt cleanse the altar when thou hast made an atonement for it. And thou shalt anoint it to sanctify it.
So it has to be cleaned every day. Amen. Amen. Then what?
7 days thou shalt make an atonement for the altar and sanctify it. And it shall be an altar most holy.
And if God says it's holy, my God, it is holy. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
Okay, last thing.
Okay.
Whatsoever toucheth the altar shall be holy.
Okay, so even the sacrifices that's on the altar, I mean, if you're really a heap of burnt ashes, you're holy too. Okay? So if you're in the Spirit, if you're before the altar of the Lord, you're on the altar, you're doing whatever he says, and you're paying attention to every word that he says, and doing what it says, you're holy. Well, but you don't, you know, you look dirty or something. Well, I'm sure those disciples looked dirty too. Amen?
Amen.
But they were holy. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what else? Because God said they were. And because they weren't sinning anymore. Because they had the Spirit of the Lord after the day of Pentecost in them. All right, then what?
Translation verses 29 through 37. Aaron's sacred garments must be preserved for his descendants who will succeed him, so they can be anointed and ordained in them. Whoever is the next high priest after Aaron will wear these clothes for 7 days before beginning to minister in the tabernacle and the holy place. Take the ram used in the ordination ceremony and boil its meat in a sacred place. Aaron and his sons are to eat this meat, along with the bread in the basket at the tabernacle entrance. They alone may eat the meat and bread used for their atonement in the ordination ceremony. The ordinary people, the common people, may not eat them, for these things are set apart and holy. If any of the ordination meat or bread remains until the morning, it must be burned.
Now, the ordinary are common people. That means that the most of that congregation was ordinary and common. They weren't common people, are people that are really not saved. They've been delivered, but they're not living the life. Amen?
Amen.
So the Bible says not all that say, Lord, Lord, shall be saved, but those that walk in the Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
Then what?
It may not be eaten, for it is holy. This is how you will ordain Aaron and his sons to their offices. The ordination ceremony will go on for 7 days. Each day you must sacrifice a young bull as an offering for the atonement of sin. Afterward, make an offering to cleanse the altar. Purify the altar by making atonement for it. Make it holy by anointing it with oil.
Right, this goes on 7 days. Every day for 7 days. Amen?
Amen.
And the altar has to be cleansed every day. Then what else for 7 days? Then what?
Make atonement for the altar every day for 7 days. After that, the altar will be exceedingly holy, and whatever touches it will become holy.
Now, you couldn't just go up and touch it. That isn't what it means. Every burnt offering that goes on it, so everything that's been killed and chopped to pieces, is holy enough to forgive your sins if it was offered for you. Okay, and Jesus is holy enough, his blood is holy enough to take away the sins of the world, and his Spirit is holy enough to keep you from sinning. If your desire is to not be tempted by Satan or to do what he says, but to follow the Lord, you are holy. Okay, then what?
King James Version, verse 38. Now this is that which thou shalt offer upon the altar. 2 lambs of the first year, day by day, continually. The one lamb thou shalt offer in the morning, and the other lamb thou shalt offer at even. And with the one lamb a 1/10 deal of flour mingled with the 1/4 part of an hin of beaten oil, and the 1/4 part of an hin of wine for a drink offering. and the other lamb thou shalt offer at even, and shalt do thereto according to the meat offering of the morning, and according to the drink offering thereof, for a sweet savour, an offering made by fire unto the Lord. This shall be a continual burnt offering throughout your generations, at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord, where I will meet you to speak there unto thee. And there I will meet with the children of Israel, and the tabernacle shall be sanctified by my glory. And I will sanctify the tabernacle of the congregation, and the altar. I will sanctify also both Aaron and his sons, to minister to me in the priest's office. And I will dwell among the children of Israel, and will be their God. And they shall know that I am the Lord their God, that brought them forth out of the land of Egypt, that I may dwell among them. I am the Lord their God.
Okay, yeah, he'll dwell among them. Now he dwells in us. Isn't that much better?
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. Then what? Okay, now, go ahead. This is the last of the scriptures. Go ahead.
Translation verse 38 through 46. This is what you are to offer on the altar. Offer 2 one-year-old lambs each day, one in the morning and the other in the evening. With one of them, offer 2 quarts of fine flour, mixed with 1 quart of olive oil. Also offer 1 quart of wine as a drink offering. Offer the other lamb in the evening, along with the same offering of flour and wine as in the morning. It will be a fragrant offering to the Lord, an offering made by fire. This is to be a daily burnt offering, given from generation to generation. Offer it in the Lord's presence at the tabernacle entrance, where I will meet you and speak with you. I will meet the people of Israel there, and the tabernacle will be sanctified by my glorious presence. Yes, I will make the tabernacle and the altar most holy, and I will set apart Aaron and his sons as holy, that they may be my priests. I will live among the people of Israel and be their God, and they will know that I am the Lord their God. I am the one who brought them out of Egypt, so that I could live among them. I am the Lord their God.
Okay, that was the last verse in chapter
29.
And now we've got some commentary here.
29 verse 1.
You don't have to read it, just keep it.
Hallow literally means, quote, to make holy, unquote. The priest was consecrated, and we are priests today, just as the high priest, but we are a nation of priests, that is, holy people. Being a priest means that you've been made holy or set apart entirely for God's service by a special ceremony. The ceremony was that we got saved. The Spirit of the Lord entered us.
And we were baptized with water, and then filled with the Holy Spirit, and now we're in the ministry. Then what?
Again, I'm going to repeat it. To be hallowed literally means, quote, to make holy, unquote. A priest was and still must be consecrated. We are a nation of priests. That is, we've been made holy or set apart from the rest of the world and entirely for God's service, by a special ceremony, and that's our born-again experience. 29 verse 4. The ritual cleansings dealt with the outward or external cleansing of a person. But this also shows that they are to live a clean and holy life, so that they can be representatives of God. God shows himself in people by living a clean life according to God's laws by the Spirit. They foreshadowed New Testament, not just the baptism in water, but baptism of the Holy Spirit. Romans 6:4. Quote, therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Unquote.
Right, it's a new life. It's a holy life that we're called to live. No more the old lying, baloney, garbage. What else?
29, verse 10 through 14. The sin offering, also known as guilt offering, was offered for unintentional and intentional sins for which there was no possible restitution.
Other than the burnt offering. Then what else?
And that is the way it is today. The blood of Jesus takes away all of our sins, and we are to walk as priests, holy. The guilt for wrongdoing was symbolically transferred from the worshiper to the animal through the laying on of hands. This was because that God in Christ by the Holy Spirit was not living in them, and they didn't have the power, or they call it grace, in them to stop from sinning. So they had to repeat these animal sacrifices all the time. The animal was then killed, and the sin was thus covered. But Jesus, as our high priest and our sin offering, died once and for all, and entered into us in the most holy place, which is our spirit. And now we have the power to not sin. 29, verse 15 through 18. The burnt offering was a symbol of the new priest's dedication to God. So we have to become like a burnt offering, a heap of ashes, that we are no longer ourselves. We are a gift to God because God gave himself as a gift to us, his life, eternal life. You can check this particular burnt offering in Leviticus 1:3 and 1:4. Quote, if his offering be a burnt sacrifice of the herd, let him offer a male without blemish. He shall offer it of his own voluntary will at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord. And he shall put his hand upon the head of the burnt offering, and it shall be accepted for him to make atonement for him. Unquote.
So he says it's the voluntary. That's the way the Lord is today. A lot of people feel that because they have their free moral agents, they can do whatever they please. They feel that they can reject the Lord if they want, and they can, or they can accept him. And so that's why he said it's a free will. So it depends on your will. If you want to accept the Lord, if you want to give yourself as a burnt offering unto the Lord, to not be your own anymore, but to let the Lord live in you and rule your life and work in you, well, then that's free will. Because you know at the end of the line what the reward is. But he doesn't force you. It's free will offering yourself. He's not going to have any robots or somebody that he has to break their arm every day to make him do it. Okay, you can easily stop from lying. You can easily tell the truth. You can easily stop from bearing false witness against one another. You can do that. Or you can choose not to. It's a free will thing. You can stop thinking about lesbianism or homosexuality. It's a free will thing. Or you can put a screeching halt to it. You can think of adultery and fornication if you like. Or you can put a screeching halt to it. It's a free will thing. If you will to do that, you can. You know, whenever anybody sets their mind to do something, they can do it. If you set your mind to go out into the world and do your own thing, you know, you've seen people do that. That's their free will. That's their free will offering to the world. They've offered themselves to the world. It all depends on you. You can not worship the Lord God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. It's up to you. It's a free will. And to love your neighbor and prefer him before yourself. That's garbage, huh? You could say it's garbage, or you can say it's the truth because God said it. And do it so that you can be blessed. Some people are so far out in darkness they don't know they're cursed every day of their lives. It's free will. Okay, then what? So that's what these are, free will offerings today when we accept the Lord, or we can free will to not do it. Then what?
29, verse 19 through 20. In the ordination ceremony of the priest, the blood of a ram was applied to the priest's ear to signify that he would hear only the word of the Lord. So we have to be totally immersed in the blood of Jesus, that we hear only the word of the Lord. The blood was applied to his thumb, signifying he would rightly perform the duties of a priest. That means he'd just live a holy life.
That he'd win souls. It says to bring forth fruit. This is God's farm. He'd plant, he'd water, he'd sow, he'd water, and he'd reap. And he'd bring up the fruit. He'd bathe them in the word in the every day, because we're washed also with the word. And he'd train the young Christians. But that's a free will thing, too. You can see a lot of people are not willing to do that. They always find something more important to do, something that they would like to do, rather than what the Lord loves for them to do. It's all up to you. It's a free will thing, this being with the Lord or not. That's what it is, all right. Okay, then what?
And we are even more responsible today, because we have the power to do it. The blood was applied to the toe to signify that he would walk in the path of righteousness as a priest of the Lord. 29 verse 24. Wave offerings. You can check that out in Leviticus 3:1 and Exodus 29:27.
So let them do that.
And heave offering, you can check that in Leviticus 3:1 and Exodus 29:28.
Okay, so mark that down, you can. Then what else?
Priestly succession by Aaron's descendants was instituted in this particular verse. 29 verse 38 through 46. The twice daily offerings here serve to signify the way we are to walk today. Each day must be opened and closed with gifts of worship to God.
In other words, when you first wake up, you should be praising and thanking the Lord. And when you lay down at night, you're supposed to be praising and thanking the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
And praying to Him and finding, you know, thanking Him for another day in the Spirit. Okay, so you open the day and you close it with the Lord. Amen. Cleanse yourself. Then what else?
We are to walk in the Spirit both day and night, to meditate on the Lord day and night, and to not let any sin enter in day or night.
All right, praise the Lord. That was chapter 29, the book of Exodus. And we'll be doing chapter 30. I've already written it up. Actually, I'm already past the first chapter of the third book of the Bible, Leviticus. And so, so I just wanted to get ahead here so that in the event that the Lord has me to do something else, and I get extremely excited about the word of the Lord, and I like to read ahead a little bit, you know. Praise the Lord. And write it up too. Okay, until then, you know, keep thinking about these things, because, you know, it's stated in the Word of God, it's a voluntary thing to think about the Lord all day, or to not to. But if you do, you'll be like planted by the water. And that's the living water, planted in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. And you cannot fall if you stay in the Spirit. Keep meditating or thinking about that all day long. Till then, God bless you, and praise the Lord with all your heart and soul. In Jesus' name, amen.